takes care of the roll. Everybody's had a chance to read the minutes. Motion to accept the minutes. I'll make a motion to accept them.
Call second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Minutes passed. Chuck.
How are you guys doing? So a couple things, update things. I know we have on the agenda to talk about Roofner with John here, so I will talk about that at this point. A couple things that I wanted to update you on. First of all was, and I sent this to Pete, I got to it late, but he can forward this a copy to everyone later. But basically, we have been working with Circle C Landfill. You know, they're still on a post-closure permit. We, over the last year, we had some meetings and some correspondence with them, but basically they sent us a proposal for some additional monitoring on that landfill. They'd like us to terminate the post-closure permit. You know, they pay a permit fee every year for that. They want to get away from it, but as it turns out, at the state level even, there's no clear process or some guidance for how to do that. But basically, we've agreed that they're going to do some additional monitoring, leaching, gas, settling, and then in the meantime, we're going to develop some criteria, work with the college to develop criteria to figure out, can we allow them to get out of the post-closure permit process. But anyway, I just want to make you aware of that. I think at the next meeting, we should be able to provide you sort of, they've given us a proposal last month, and we just haven't finished reviewing it. Circle C has. As far as the monitoring they want to do over the next year or 2 years.
So there's no closure procedure in place?
Yeah, there's...
county level or a state level?
There's not one at the county level that exists. At the state level, they have guidance for things like settling, gas, but they don't have any specific criteria like, once all groundwater leach or leachate is at a certain concentrations for contaminants you might be concerned, here's the criteria you'd use to allow someone to get out of their post-closure permit. So that's what we're working on. I mean, in my mind, and then we're conferring with Ecology, but my sense of it is that they just don't have clear criteria either, because every single one of these is different. But they do have guidance out there, and I can forward that link to where they have guidance on it. But they don't have any clear criteria for when gas is at this level, you can stop monitoring the gas and you probably don't have any future gas issues with the landfill. They don't have any clear criteria like that.
So it sounds like catch 22, that they just like to get the fees.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll be honest, what I want to do is, and I've been working with Melissa on this, but we are going to have to check with the colleges. I think we should try to be a leader and let's try to figure out criteria that makes sense. And for me, all the deep history, but it was mostly like construction debris things and stuff like that. I really think that it's really water protection standards. So they have some groundwater wells. What are the concentrations? What's the leachate look like? And if that's all below criteria that we would consider, like under a cleanup scenario, to be protective of drinking water, I don't know why we would ask them to continue to monitor it.
Well, except for like we said, the fees.
Right. So I want us to try to kind of be a leader in that as a county. I'm sorry?
Do you know how long it's been closed?
It's actually been closed 20 years.
Yeah, let's look at trying to be a leader. I mean, if Ecology can't come up with a guideline.
There is a guideline, but again, they stop short of being clear on what type of criteria. Like they say, look at settling. And that's important because that's an indicator of landfill stability and whether it's finished sort of processing material in it. But there's no clear, if it only settles a half inch over 2 years, then everything's fine. There's not a clear line like that. That's just one example.
I would think if you came up with some guidelines for our case, then the Ecology would probably sign off on them. And then we could use them here.
Yeah.
Because that's not the only one you're monitoring.
No, right. And in my sense of it, I mean, I'm not a landfill expert, but my sense of it is that, you know, every landfill is different, too. What was in it, how it's structured.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to vary depending on if you've got something that's not really close to any drinking water sources, et cetera. So, but I think defining sort of an approach and criteria based on the setting there and what could be threatened or impacted is the way to go. So that's what I want us to move forward on.
Have you considered contacting the EPA and asking that question?
We haven't talked to EPA yet. That's a good idea. Because...
Well, don't they have to? Wouldn't EPA would have to approve it, right?
I don't think they're involved in these types of landfills. I think they do oversee like the large, like hazardous waste landfills.
I'm thinking Superfund cleanup sites, and they're looking for groundwater protection from those things.
Right. That's what I did most of my work in the last 10 years in Oregon, and that to me is the approach that makes sense. Is you look at it like it's a hazardous substance. What are the substances that can create an impact or a risk to natural resources? And then you look at what are the protective criteria to protect those resources, and if they meet those standards, then you can close it.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to...
That's a rational approach.
That's what I'm trying to get us to come up with some.
That would be nice if we are the leaders in that.
And then the only problem would be if they refute it, you know. And, you know, if they don't have, as long as you're following their guidance and you do the very best you can do, then let them refute it.
Right, yeah. We're trying to work with them and keep them in the loop, the DOT ecology, but I feel like I think we can come up with a fairly straightforward and not too complicated way to look at it and see what happens. But, yeah. So that's, and I think what we will do is, we have a proposal for them for what they're going to measure. But at some point we'll come to you with the criteria that we think makes sense. I mean, give you guys a chance to look at it and explain more about how we came up with that criteria. Again, I think it's mostly going to be similar to the cleanup criteria that the state has. So at the last meeting, I know that Melissa mentioned the Washougal Stormwater Decamp Facility permit application that came in. There's public notice that's been out on our website, a newspaper announcement's going out soon, and I just wanted to quickly cover the timeline. So the public comment period ends formally on December 20th. So after that date, we wouldn't take any other public comments. We'll then collect those. We don't know if we'll get any, and I don't think we've got any yet. And then we'll consider, if we do get incomes, we'll consider those as we move forward on the permit. And then I think at the next meeting, the idea would be that we'll present the comments. You guys all have seen them before next month's meeting. And if you have any other further questions, and then what I would hope is that then we can just move forward with finalizing the permit. But we'll also probably be prepared on the 7th to talk to you about the permit. Again, to me, this looks pretty straightforward. It's going to all be done. A recovery facility is going to be done within the confines of an existing wastewater treatment plant. So all of the, and as I, you know, all of the material that's coming out of these Vactor trucks, which are cleaning out the catch basins, are basically just going to go right into the wastewater treatment plant. So the solids that actually come out of that process then fall into the biosolids management for that wastewater facility, not a solid waste landfill or anything like that. So I think it should be, again, pretty simple, but I wanted to let you know how we're proceeding.
Is there any kind of chemical analysis on what you're picking up here in the back?
I don't know. I mean, I would think that they would do that periodically.
Because some of the metals, if they get anything,
right,
they're going to screw up your biosolids, yeah, too.
Yeah. I haven't read the proposal, but... Yeah, I would think volumetrically it would be relatively minimal relative to the total load on the wastewater plant, wastewater treatment. I can find out about that. Sampling. So two other quick things. I didn't bring a bunch of copies. I know that 2 months ago when I was here, I laid out the logic model that we were working on for the solid waste program and public health. I forwarded this to Pete, but I'd like you to look at that, and if you have any input on that, provide that to me or feed Pete to me. But I think we've moved pretty far down on this. It looks pretty good to me. But the next thing we are doing, and I talked about it, is I haven't started doing it for this program, but this is a performance measure. So, yeah. Again, at the next meeting, I'll have probably have gotten to that, and I'll be ready to, for you guys to look at that. For us to, again, look at the program and develop performance measures for, are we doing a good job relative to the goals we've set through the logic model for the program. The last thing I just want to mention, because this just happened today, and it doesn't directly impact the solid waste program, the CPG funding for us, but we just got a letter from Ecology about our site hazard assessment grant. And there are times when our site hazard assessment person that basically funds a person in our department, but Ecology, because of lower gas prices, has just sent us a letter that they're not even sure they can pay for work performed since July of this year. So there's some huge budget issues coming out of the Vodka grant because of that. And so they just sent a letter today. I forwarded that letter to Pete because I just got it late this afternoon. But it's dated today and it went to all the health directors. So that right now, in essence, we are, as far as my concerns, it's not your concerns, but I just want to make you aware that the site hazard assessment grant right now for all the LHJs in Clark County, as far as they're telling us, there's no funding for it right now.
Isn't the gas tax up so many cents a gallon? And it doesn't matter if the price is $1 a gallon or $3 a gallon, you're going to get the same amount of money.
I think Motka is 4 cents a barrel.
It's a percentage, the way that it goes down. At least what goes into Motka.
But
the model process control act funding.
Yeah. Well, our gas tax is per gallon. It's not any other way. And besides that, if the gas price is lower, everybody's going to drive more and use more of it. So it shouldn't be doing.
But they aren't doing that. Even in Oregon, they were talking about having to do something different because they aren't getting the gas taxes. In San Jose, the same thing was happening.
I mean, I think that's the same effect that impacted CPG funding.
Yeah, I think the gas tax that you're thinking about at the pump is used for transportation. And the gas tax, or the tax on gasoline, is for the manufacturer that produces it. So it's more on a volumetric basis, I think.
The wholesale level, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Wholesale level versus.
And I have the memo if you want to glance at it, but I did forward a scanned copy of this to Pete, so you can forward it to everyone.
How's that going to affect your staffing?
So right now, the person that does that basically funds an FTE in my group. So one fortunate thing is that there's another program that we are funded to work on, or that will be funded to work on, called local source control. And we were looking at and had authority to hire a part-time person to do that. So right now we've realized, well, you know, our site hazard assessment person is just going to do that work. And we'll have to find someone. We have some other programs, but we'll have to find someone to work for them in addition to that, because it's not a fully, it's not a full FTE level of effort.
So the site assessment activity will cease?
Yes. Right now, what we're going to do is, we're not even sure we can pay for the work we've done up to now. We're just at least going to finish up what we can finish now. At the end of the month, though, he's going to switch into this other project. So that's just the way it is right now. I mean, just today, this is dated.
I understand.
So it's an interesting day.
So let's go ahead and cut our tax base in Clark County and save two lattes and let people go and let this fester. But that's another subject.
So I should have saved that. I should have done that first. I hate to end it on a down note, but again, it doesn't really affect our solid waste activity. But I thought you might want to just be aware of it.
In other words, Melissa still is writing, looking at the site stuff.
Oh yeah, Melissa's work is fine. She's not funded out of that group.
Good. Staff person. Because she does such fine work.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I agree. So that's it.
That's it.
Can I ask a quick question on the budget stuff, since you brought it up on that? With this thing that they just went through with the county councilors, that they're talking about cutting the property tax, is that going to affect?
That's general fund. So it won't affect our programs. It will affect other programs.
Streets, parks, libraries.
Well, it's always been a concern of mine that cut over here out of the general fund and then we can start rating our garbage collection. And that's been a problem throughout time and throughout governmental organizations. That money is dedicated towards solid waste and solid waste programs. And I don't need it to be like the Social Security Trust Fund where they borrow it and never put it back in.
Our fund is about $3 million. Solid waste fund.
Okay, well, I'd like to see it stay at $3
million. Well, we want to grow that. We've got uses for it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Get the hands out of it,
right? Yeah.
Watch the pot.
We need to watch the people watching the money.
Sure.
And for that, you know, I assume everybody in here votes, so.
At least once.
Yeah.
Vote early, vote often.
Okay, anything else, Jack?
No, that's all.
We have nobody from ecology. Will, Pete, have you ever heard if we're going to have a Department of Ecology person coming down anymore?
You know, I'll check with their local office.
And if they're not going to send anybody, we'll take them off the agenda.
Thank you.
All right, Rich?
I was just going to mention about leaves. So we're two-thirds of the way through our leaf coupon program for the year. And we have the results in for October. So we had about 1,800 cubic yards collected at the sites in October, which is even a little above the year before. We sort of thought that it was going to go down because we stopped giving out coupons at the sites. So you can't drive to the site now and say, I've got a load of leaves, give me a coupon. We stopped doing that. So now people are more tending to print off the coupons off the internet or make copies from ones they've had, or use them off of the Waste Connections fall newsletter. So it's pretty much on track with what we had last year, though. So that's good news. The prices we're paying for leaves disposal has gone up, but again, we're working with the county public works and road fund, I think, kind of covers the cost of that. So still a great program. People are loving it and continuing to use it. And coupons are good for another 4 weeks.
That's it.
It's good. Half the leaves haven't fallen.
Well, hopefully they will soon. I'd say we're like 85 to 90% on the ground or in the storage ditch or someplace.
Sure, a lot of them right out here today.
It would be good to have them all gone before we get the ice storms. So
yeah. Anything else?
I think that's all.
Derek?
Yeah, Derek Grant with Waste Connections. Scott Campbell, we gave him the night off, and I got a nice cold from my kids, so I may not stick around much longer. But I wanted to be here to talk about kind of what we're doing. Really, this is a big rate-setting time of year for us, so working with Rich, Pete, most of our rates are kind of plus or minus 1% this year. Very low CPI, so that rolls into most of our contracts. The CPI, I think, was 0.4441%. So tip fees on garbage will go up by that amount, close to that, I should say, 75% of that. And then the City of Vancouver has a utility tax increase that will raise rates about 1.9% just for streets funding. But base garbage rates aren't changing in the City of Vancouver. So we're working through that right now. Other things that we're in the process of, obviously, weather planning. We're praying for no snow this year. That was a little bit of a hiccup into it. I know we've had some conversations on SWAC in past years about how we handle that, but I think we have a good system in place. And then the transfer stations, pretty much business as usual. If anybody wants to talk about recycling markets, they're not great right now. They're not getting a whole lot better anytime soon from what we see. And garbage volumes have been quite strong as the economy of Clark County has improved. They're starting to kind of level off a little bit, not just because of seasonality, but I just think we had a really strong end of 2014, and most of 2015 kind of leveled off now at this point. So still up quite a bit over last year, but not as much as we saw earlier this year.
Any questions? Anything else? We don't want your books. The kids. You're up, Pete.
Okay. And I appreciate everyone taking their evening here to be at SWAC. And we have two folks registered to attend the December 10th forum that Association of Oregon puts on, Stephen and then Rem. It's a sold-out show, and it's to talk about an article that Tierney had put out. We had shared with you about the recycle rates in the toilet. I mean, the recycled commodity values. So you guys can report back to us. And our Regional Solid Waste System Steering Committee, which is made up of the Public Works Directors plus the County's Environmental Services Director, met. We hammered out the bylaws. There isn't really a whole lot to report back at this time, other than we have formalized the process. We discussed the roles and responsibilities that was brought up at this role for SWAC and the role for this regional body. We'll be meeting twice a year. So sometime about when we met, which was November, and then sometime around June so we can prepare for the budget. So they will be helping us review that as well as SWAC. Our next budget will be 17-18. But it was a successful meeting, and Brian Carlson was there. One of our first and most important roles of that committee is to get our City of Vancouver interlocal agreement signed by the end of 2016 when it expires. And all the other cities have signed on through 2021. And those agreements direct our garbage and recyclables that we collect in the cities and unincorporated areas to our regional solid waste system, our three transfer stations. So those are important agreements to have. Rich, I think the progress went well, and Brian had good things to say about how we're performing. So next step is we'll need to start drafting that. And that's really our final piece to having our plan and all of the ecology required pieces in place. We've got a morning blend coming up on December 7th. These are for our green businesses. You'll hear more about that from Sarah. And to introduce Sarah, she's our green business program lead, Sarah Kearns. And luckily, she's here because she's heading out to see the timbers pretty soon in Columbus, Ohio. We've got 12 schools in our TREX competition. TREX are the folks that make the recycled lumber out of the plastic bags, and so we don't want those bags or film in our carts, and we are encouraging folks to bring them back. Safeway is participating. The city's been the lead on that. And we have a holiday cleanup event coming up on January 23rd. We'll be taking block foam. We'll be taking electronic lights that don't work anymore. Reindeers that heads stop moving.
Where are you taking that out?
And that's going to be at McKenzie Stadium, which is over there in Evergreen, near Evergreen High School. And we can get information out on that as well.
Boys going to see. I went to the one in Battleground.
And I'll leave it at that. Oh, and you'll talk about our new applicant, right? For SWAC.
No, you can.
Okay. our recruitment for the open SWAC position, county at large, closed yesterday at 5 p.m. We had two applicants that came in. I reviewed them. Got some input from Don, which I appreciated. We have an excellent candidate that we've recommended for the board to consider. They can choose who they want. And she is a Camas High School teacher, recently relocated from Texas, and is the environmental green team lead there, also their environmental sciences teacher. And she's been running that program for 2 years, recently got them certified through the Washington Green Schools program, which is one of our key offerings. So if that all goes through, hopefully we'll have her at the January meeting, and that'll be a new, fresh perspective.
And she'd fill the county at large spot?
Correct. Yeah. So we were successful in that recruitment. Bill's not here, but if he was, I would say I appreciate he lit a fire on me to get that going again.
So now the downside of that position. You remember when you enlisted and you thought it was for 2 years? It's not the case. You're here until 17, not 16.
And let's
throw Pete lying to me.
If you like pass these
just
around,
just like the enlistment guy.
These are the updated rosters. So just to remind you. And then I guess we need three more if you got them. Yeah.
Three's on the nose.
All right. Okay. Yep. 3-year terms.
Yeah. It was an oversight. But yeah, you did lie to you.
I owe you a coffee.
Thank you. Anything else?
Yep.
We'll go on to a near and dear thing to me with the Grafner landfill. Come on up.
Good evening. I'm John Wagner. I'm a senior planner with the City of Vancouver. Been working on this project for quite a while. Well, since the beginning of time, I think. And I'm not really sure exactly what kind of information you're looking for me. I can pretty much try to answer the questions of where we are with the project. Maybe that would be the best thing to start with.
I'm new. Okay. And so a little bit of background overview, where we've been, where we are, and where we want to go.
Okay.
Would probably be a good intro.
And I wonder, Rich, do you want to provide that? Or not to overstep, because there is that solid waste component, and
right.
I know we captured some of that in the minutes last month.
Yes, I don't know if you were here last month or not.
I was.
I'll give the short story.
I read the consent, all the stuff Pete sent out. I read all that, and so.
So, the site was a Boise Cascade paper mill site for clarifier solids, which was largely clay and paper fiber, and it hadn't been used probably for 15 or 18 years, I think. And Boise decided they would do a good thing for the boys and girls. They donated it to, somebody tried to build it into a C&D landfill, and then that didn't work, so they decided they would donate it. Donated to the Help Foundation, and then the names kind of changed with the shell game sort of thing for a dozen years as we went through it. The ability to do it as to a new landfill was denied, I think really land use issues. So in 2010, I think a proposal was, let's take out, we looked at the material that was in there, it's fairly benign, it did have a little bit of issues. Ecology reviewed and said, hey, you could probably put that back into the soil in that area. The area is low. It needs to be raised above the floodplain to be developed. And John will talk about the shoreline permit that did that piece. But ecology said, yeah, that works, and that was a proposal. And going up until 2013, I think, was the last piece. There was like a, I think it was a 2010 hearing that SWAC had. And then the 2013 was kind of a transfer, and there was an approval from that to basically defer the landfill permit and say, let's take everything that's in the line 10 acres, which is the bottom left. The arrows seem to have unshifted.
Yeah.
So where the green arrow would point, a little bit left of the green arrow. That's 10. Yeah, there we go.
Oh,
it won't. It won't hold it. So anyhow, the lower left. Okay. And that's duplicated. So it's an aerial photo on the left, and then kind of a diagram on the right. So the aerial photo on the left is a 2014 that shows the large 19-acre parcel, which is the northern one. It shows that mostly filled, and the material that had been in the landfill now is mixed in with the bottom layer of that fill. That fills all up to
100-year floodplain.
Up, up up to where it needs to be, and I think has been sold, I think, now, and they're starting to move ahead with development plans. The lower right-hand corner was a lagoon, and that also has been drained and the liner taken out. So the landfill at this point now is all gone and has been decommissioned. Before that, there was a deferral of the solid waste permit because permit fees hadn't been paid for quite some time. I don't know, 10 years maybe. So as part of that whole thing that happened in 2013, which was described in the emails and so forth, those permit fees were paid and there was a performance bond put onto the new owner of the property who is not all associated with the Houck Foundation or the various Boise or any of the previous owners. So they bought it new, knowing that they could get material to fill it and then properly decommission it. So that's, and then there was a consent decree, which was really the county was involved in that. And that was basically kind of get all the partners together, and Boise signed that, and the county signed it, and the new owner of the property signed it. The city of Vancouver didn't sign that, so we're not really a part of the consent decree. The only part in the consent decree that relates to the city of Vancouver was that the city had done a grading permit and a shoreline permit, which included a lot of the requirements that SWAC had identified through the public hearing as things that need to get done to make sure that the solid waste history is not perpetuated into the future. So that was done, and the solid waste landfill is all gone. The material has been properly placed in the northern part. So now the part really is a legal issue of how does the consent decree get satisfied. Mm-hmm. And so John really is going to talk about the city's part involvement, which was the shoreline permit, which was the first part, and the grading permit was also kind of tied in with that. Okay.
So the way that this started is we started on, I think the actual project is listed as a 2008 project. That's when we first started up with it, worked with Gary Pickett and some other folks to try to make sure that we had everything covered. No pun intended. As far as what was needed for solid waste, as far as meeting all the requirements. The property at the time was below the 100-year floodplain. There actually was a way that the waters could come back in from the north as well as a bit from the south, or excuse me, from the east and the west. But because of that, it was placed in shorelines in 2008, which requires if you're going to build something in shorelines, you have to get a shoreline permit. And it required a shoreline conditional use permit for the fill. It also included, and I've got a couple of drawings in here, it included a preliminary plan of what they wanted to put on that property. Now, the interesting thing about shorelines is that all you have to do, not all you have to do, but what you need to do is show approximately what you're going to build, where it's going to be, what the bulk is. And then as long as that project comes in within the scope and intent of the original approval, you can make minor modifications. So we've gone through the shoreline permit as far as the fill. That part of it will be taken care of through the shoreline permit. I'm not really sure if solid waste is interested in when we get into the buildings, because those were also approved through the shoreline permit, but I don't think they're germane to what your issues are they?
No, my issue, because I'm the only survivor of this battle.
I feel your pain.
If you weren't born. This area here is what was filled and brought up to the 100-year floodplain.
Correct. Right.
Out of the materials from here. Okay, I understand that.
I can see that.
Go left.
Well,
left.
Yeah, that one.
The black one is the city's pre-treatment lagoon.
Oh, I thought you were right with a pencil.
Yeah.
Okay, that one. All right.
Now, this is all clean. It's been sold. We're good. What concerns me is that we released the security bond because we still have these two pits that are not filled in. They're not up to the 100-year floodplain to match this. And was the intent of SWAC all the way through, it's not just to dig up the hole and fill in the lagoon to fill in both. And I was getting nervous that these aren't filled in and the security bond is going to go away. And now we have two holes in the ground that were the original, my understanding of the original agreement in my book says that, is that those got filled in. And then the funding of the owners, the security bond, would be released. And I was hearing in these conversations that, oh no, the main piece is all filled in, the materials are taken care of, we're done. Well, that's not the intent of this group. It wasn't the intent all the way through. Yes, it's neat. This stuff is out of there. It's mixed. It's a good purpose. It's all the positive things in life. But we still have the original pit. We still have the original lagoon, both of which are under the floodplain. If we had a flood, they're going to be holding the water in there. And that wasn't the intent. The whole project was supposed to have been brought back to the same standards as that development, so then it could be used. What I'm hearing is, oh, well, let's just release the security bond because we're done with the big part. We're not done. We're not done with the project. We have the lagoon to fill in. We have the pit to fill in. And that's my take on it. And if the security bond is released,
we don't have any leverage.
You know, it's gone and everybody else is gone. And you know, then we get into 100 different finger pointings. So my question, John, is where are we with the pit and where are we with the lagoon? Because that was part of the consent decree.
We don't have, to my knowledge, a grading that's been issued for that part of it yet. We don't have a grading and filter on the lower portion of the property. And what we've done is the one on the top, and that's where materials were mixed. So if your concern is that those aren't being filled at this time, that's a valid concern. But just so I understand, is the concern with flooding, or is the concern more with chemicals that are in the ground that might be leached out because of flooding? I just tried to understand.
No, my concern would be that if it floods, whatever residual materials that are in there are going to seep down, and below that is our aquifer that we're drawing drinking water out of.
I appreciate that.
But still, the closure of that landfill stated that it would be backfilled. And it's not being backfilled.
Well, I can sort of go back and take a look and make sure that I understand.
I understand the big part. No. And I understand why. And there's a neat project. And I agree with it. We're finally done. But I was hearing that the powers to be were going to release the security bond because it was done.
Well, I think what we originally talked about was just the part that where the materials were blended, and that part really wasn't under the terms of the agreement, so that wasn't an issue. And so the concern is whether or not that's being filled right now, and the answer, to my knowledge, is it's not. So what we need to do is see if we can get that moved.
My understanding, and I don't understand your grading permits and what all is involved, but to grade that entire property to meet the 100-year floodplain, we're not done yet.
No.
And I don't want the responsible parties to say, well, we did our good deed, we got rid of the clarifiers, we're done, we'll forget about backfilling. And I'm hearing that that's kind of where we're at.
Up until we had this conversation, I didn't know that was your issue.
It's my issue.
Okay, no, I
haven't.
So it's a consent decree language issue.
As
Well, and maybe clarify, so the shoreline permit covered all three parcels?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And which parcels did the grading permit cover?
Just the 19 acres.
The 19 acres.
So shoreline says, then explain to me what the...
Well, the shoreline permit is kind of a strange little animal. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it, anything that was in a floodplain at the time that this project was approved is subject to shorelines, even though our shoreline management program has changed since then. It still has to be at the old one. What makes it even more difficult to track is that any time spent between the time it's approved and the time you get the grading permit doesn't count towards the expiration of the five-year period, because it's considered time that you're doing plans and stuff, and there was a lot of negotiation on the contracts and that sort of thing. So this basically has just been approved in the last year. So it's not another 5 years to go. Shoreline permit talks about what the uses are. The intent of shorelines is to make sure the property that's literally in an area that has water next to it is used for what's considered to be the highest and best use. You know, there are certain things that have to be next to water, and there are certain things that it's kind of fun to have next to water, or it's kind of neat to have next to water, but it has to be next to water. And the shoreline program is to try to make sure that takes place.
Well, the shoreline for the large part that was brought up to be above the floodplain is done. I mean, that's been sold, that's being developed.
Right now, yes.
Yeah, that's done. I mean, I know there was some confusion over the consent decree, whether that was part of the property. It was never my interpretation as part of the property. But I'm still confused on the bottom, the lagoon and the pit. To me, those were part of the shoreline and the grading. Bringing it up, those two pieces, bringing them up to the shoreline. Because it kind of is silly to have an island there, with water coming into those two pits.
No, and the shoreline permit doesn't expire all at once. It's a phased permit, so the shoreline permit will still cover when they go to fill the rest of it. They can't build on it until they do the things. But the issue is not my shoreline permits. It's more your consent decree and the timing of how that works. Because shorelines, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they've got 5 years to do it.
Okay, but if they've got 5 years to do it, 5 years from when?
From when they got that first permit for that grade.
The first permit. Does that cover the two pits that are existing today?
No.
So what covers those?
It's the grading permit that was issued, which is a section of the shoreline permit that was issued. The shoreline permit covers the whole area, and you can do it in phases. So in other words, if you had, you know, 10 lots out there, you could build the first one, the second one, the third one, so on. You don't have to do them all at the same time. And so I think the issue is how to make the two programs work together. And so what I will do is take a look and see what's... Because the project is no longer in my hands, as far as the development part of it now, and I'll see where they are with their project. I talked with the planner that's working on those two buildings that are going on that 19 acres.
Well, your concern is giving away the money.
I just
want to have
Don,
to do it.
So a couple things real quick. I mean, the consent, so what this all got going again and came to my attention back in August because they had completed that 19 acre. And they came to us, they came to the county in public health and said, hey, we want you to sign off on this part of this development under the consent decree. I got together with the county attorney. We combed through that thing, and we realized that the consent decree, when you look at the specifics of what properties it covers, it's just the old landfill and the old lagoon. Mm-hmm. So at that stage, we realized that we had no say in that aspect. Because I think I think when they wrote their purchase agreement, they had that as an element. So they had to get something from us, but they were able to work around that apparently. Right. So, and we've been just because of people's schedules, we actually had some time today to catch up. I had talked to the attorney about this already, but Pete, Mike, and I met with the county attorney. The consent decree is still in place. There's no proposal to close that at this stage. I mean, I think Brian's email is kind of asking for that from the city's perspective, right? The email from a couple weeks ago, Brian Carlson, right? But, and so our meeting today, that's what we looked through, is that what is the county, because the county, if you look at the consent decree, it can't close until the county signs off on it. So we wouldn't sign off on it until we felt all the elements of it were satisfied. So but no one's proposing that happens at this stage, but we are looking at what do we need to be able to do that.
You need to fill in the holes.
No, right, right.
Let me jump in. So in terms of the solid waste issues, though, that's gone now. So the deferral related to the landfill cell, and that permit was deferred, and then that material has been removed, and the consent decree described how that would happen. And the city, consent decree to be waived, it has to be the judge doing it. And
let's go back to the court.
And the property owner, what I forget the number of them, 2600.
Yeah.
They have to petition the judge for that to happen. They have to have three parts of the permits that related. One was the deferral, and that piece has been done. So that's been done, right?
Right. The deferral was done in 2013.
And then and that's the county's role and the solid waste role. That's been completed. So then the city has to do the shoreline permit and the grading permit. And we have to say we're satisfied that those conditions have been met.
Good, but does that property not have to come up then to shoreline standards?
So that's going to be attorneys can look at that and kind of make that decision. Correct. But in terms of the solid waste piece, it doesn't have to come up to the elevation to satisfy that. That was the deferral, which has already been done.
So
what we focused on no longer a solid waste site.
It's no longer a solid waste site, but it was never restored to the original proposition that it was. What we have is we excavated all the stuff out of there. Now we have a hole where kids can fall in and drown.
Well,
I'm exaggerating.
Behind the fence, and it's been partially filled.
Right.
And they're in the process of filling it now.
Okay, I don't want the money turned loose on the security bond until it's full. And once it's full, then the powers to be in their grading and whatever can determine once it's full to release the money. But it was the intent, I believe, is that it's going to be scooped out, taken care of in the appropriate manner, and it's going to be filled back in and graded. And at that point, if somebody else wants to develop it up to the shoreline's level, then fine. But it was going to be returned before the money was released, because this has been a flim-flam project.
That's not, and so I'm going to defend Leahy. They've done a great job on the site.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
You're trying to portray them as a black hat.
No.
Is all wrong.
No.
Paul's gone.
It has been a flim-flam.
In the past.
In the past. You know, I did not mean to say that Ken Leahy or his organization was that way at all. But the original intent of this group was to scoop it out, use it, it's been used, and restore that to the same ground level before the money was released.
I don't know that's to the same ground level of the landfill or the
of the landfill.
Of what? Above the 100-year floodplain?
No, to the landfill. To what it was when it started out to be a landfill.
When it started out to be a landfill, it was much lower. So there was a dike around it.
So what I would ask, it's just been getting to the attorney, and we did that today, and I think we had a really good, and we clarified from the county's perspective, because the key paragraph in the consent decree is 45, is duration of the decree, and what the court will ask for when it's dismissed. And I can read it if you like, but basically what we realize is that the 2600 has to ask the court to that the Okay, so I'll just read it. 2600, and that's Ken Leahy, must move to this court and must submit from the City of Vancouver written confirmation satisfactory to the court that the requirements of the grading permit have been satisfactorily completed. So that's one. Secondly, the restrictive covenant attached hereto as Exhibit E has been executed and recorded. That's been done because that's a restrictive covenant that it can only be used for industrial purposes. Third major element of this, and Clark County has provided or issued a written concurrence and statement affirming that the Rufner landfill is considered decommissioned, and I think at this point we feel that that has been met, and decommissioned and closed, and that no further actions are necessary at the site as required by the development permits. So I think that gets to exactly what you're saying. So what we will make sure of before we would ask the attorney to review our concurrence is that the letter of the consent order has been met. My, you know, I have my own interpretation, but I'm not an attorney. But so I think it's there already in the consent decree. And in my role, you know, we talked about this today, what I've been trying to make sure is that I don't offer from the county's perspective or the public health department's perspective that we'll sign off on anything until I've got the attorneys okay that we can.
It was the understanding through this process, because of the various owners and the way it had been conducted, that those pits would be filled in.
Right.
Okay. They're not filled in.
No, right. They're not filled in.
And so I don't want to see any security bond released until they're filled in. Now, whether I have to, I don't know where it goes from here. I'm not throwing people under the bus. This has been a 15-year process, and I'd like to see it done. I think I want to see it done as much as anybody wants to see it done, but I want to see it done all the way through and done right. I don't know what, does it have to be too great? Does it have to be whatever? That's not my expertise. From my perspective, we still have two holes that need to be filled to a reasonable level.
Let me ask you just a process question. Does the release of the security bond or consent decree require an action on behalf of this commission?
Yes, and only in the sense that we established or helped establish what the consent decree was.
All right, so somebody's got to come back through us and request our approval of the release of the security bond and the consent decree.
I don't know.
It would be a recommendation. You'd recommend that.
So that's our, that would, if that's true,
hey,
that would be our control point.
If it's true, and that's a very valid question.
Can we determine whether that's true or not?
At some point we push it up that we're going to move on this, the county, and submit it. And
if we say we don't like it, well, they can still go.
This is similar to the planning commission.
We have limited control. Interpret that correctly.
You're a recommending voice, and you would recommend that we feel, based on what we've seen, that we're ready to sign a letter of concurrence that covenant,
and if we don't agree, we can dissent and make our dissent known.
That is correct as well. Yes.
John, you've obviously done this for part of your life. You understand policies and procedures better than most of us. What is the easy way to get it resolved?
That seems like the easiest thing in the world.
So who ought to be on the hook to do that?
Oh, no, it's going to be the developers.
It's going to get developed.
They're working on getting it filled.
I think right now.
My interpretation from what I've heard so far is that there's just not a lot of material to fill it, just waiting out there to fill it, so it just takes time. Their estimates right now, Brian presented this in his email, was that the landfill would be filled to the grade by this spring, but that the old lagoon was estimated to be done sometime in 2017.
Yeah. See, those those emails this group has not seen.
Oh, I apologize. I thought you had. I apologize.
I've not seen them, but then I get 100 emails a day, so
okay.
That doesn't mean anything. If it's going that way, then great.
Good.
But I wasn't hearing that.
Okay.
I was hearing ready to release a security bond, and my thought is we still have two holes there. You're telling me spring of 16? 17. 17.
Well, 16 for the landfill, 2017 was the estimate for them to finish filling the lagoon.
Okay.
And this is, I'm basing this on the and I apologize, I thought you had seen that email from Brian. And again, I want to make it clear, from our perspective, representing the county, the public health department's part of this, I am trying to make sure that we are doing it right and that we don't propose to sign off on anything until the consent decree, which is the legal guiding document, that we understand it enough that before we recommend it to you that the parties that are involved have met all those standards. So I will say that I've never said that, not if I missed it, that we aren't prepared to do that yet either. But we are talking to the attorney about what do we need to be able to do that.
Keep us in the loop, and we'll stay.
Yeah.
Move it out a couple of months. I want this done. I think we all do. I was just not comfortable with what I was hearing.
Yeah.
And that's why I pushed this.
Well, I'd say two things for the record. One is keep us informed.
Yeah.
And the second one is when you feel like you're in a position to make a recommendation for action. We want to hear what their recommendation is.
And that's all.
And whenever that occurs, and I think we all know what the outcome we're looking for, whether the attorneys can agree upon that is another story. But those would be my comments.
Taking care of them.
Interestingly enough, our city attorney.
Pardon?
Our city attorney was a county attorney when this thing went through.
Well.
A lot of bitter.
I know that gentleman. We had a discussion in the other room one night where staff and SWAC strongly disagreed, and he had to come in and explain, and we said, no, we're not doing that until we get the numbers. That was when we were talking about our cart recycling, and SWAC had heard that we got to hear what the prices were. We're told no, it was an RFP, and we're not going to do it. And the gentleman in question came to a nice understanding, gave us the two numbers, didn't identify Company A or Company B, found a solution, which he's been known for.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a solution in this, too.
Absolutely. There always is. We just have to find it.
Okay. Thank you. That was my point.
Great.
Did you gentlemen have anything else you wanted to say on it?
Thank you.
You understand?
Oh, no, absolutely. It's good to come to these meetings and
have a conversation.
Have a conversation, kind of get some baseline stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Excellent.
Sarah, you're on.
All right.
We'll just switch. Let's see here. Why is that? I guess I'm going to slide.
Good evening again. my name is Sarah Kearns, and I'm a familiar or unfamiliar face to most of you, but Pete is my supervisor, and I work on the Green Business Program, so I just wanted to give a quick overview. I'm pretty excited to have this opportunity. And I'll start with just sort of how we, as a division, the Solid Waste and Environmental Outreach Division, have our programs organized. We have them under these three key areas and key audiences to reach. We have the Green Schools Program, which works with all the schools countywide, the Green Neighbors Program that focuses on our residential outreach, and then the Green Business Program, which is a regional program. I work in all the cities and the county with the commercial sector and industrial sector. These are the three core goals of the program. I work with all different businesses. The only requirement, and I say business, but truly I'm meaning organization, because I have worked with a couple of nonprofits as well, although I don't recruit them to join. It's primarily for commercial industrial. I help them meet their environmental goals, work with green leaders, Alan being one of them at Legacy Salmon Creek and the green team there. And then I work on promoting the businesses that meet our standard of what we've determined to be a minimum for a green certification. And those areas that we look at are solid waste, hazardous materials, and that's, as a county solid waste staff person, that's primarily what I focus on. And then we also have water and stormwater and a community engagement piece and energy as well. And then we also encourage business-to-business learning and discussion, and I'll talk a little bit more about how we do that as well. So what we do at the businesses is provide waste audits with every business. We look at garbage and recycling systems. We look at staff training opportunities. Really what we're there to do on the solid waste side is provide information, make sure we're all on the same working level of knowledge of what's collected, what isn't collected for garbage and recycling, and then look at opportunities for improving systems. And then we also look at hazardous materials. Every business that completes the program looks at doing an assessment of what types of materials they have on site and whether they're handled properly, how they're handled.
Do you want us to ask questions as we go along or wait till the end?
Shoot.
Okay, I'm just wondering now, do they invite you in or do you call them and schedule an appointment with them? How do you hook up with the people to be inspected?
We call that, it kind of works both ways. We are approached by members of the business community that hear about the program, mm-hmm. and then we also have an opportunity to reach out and contact them. And prior to an on-site, there's usually a lot of phone calls involved, maybe communication at an event that we're holding where there's a general interest. I could give you an example. There was a sales representative from a hotel in Vancouver who contacted me because she saw opportunity to do some marketing and took the green angle, and then invited me to come on site with some retail shops that I've heard of might have an environmental kind of product or service. I might just walk through the front door and kind of open the conversation that way.
I was also thinking, doing something like working through the chamber, for instance. That's a good way because they have contact with so many businesses.
Yes.
Do you work with the chamber in that regard?
We have, so not in a kind of ongoing monthly capacity, but I've attended meetings in the past for most, if not all, the chambers in the county. And in addition, we've done some promotion of presentations at Rotary. We found a lot of the business community is also engaged in Rotary, so we've had made some great inroads that way.
Thank you.
Also, yeah. But yeah, please interrupt me as we go. This was kind of a informal conversation and just a way for me to inform SWAC about the program. So because we're Clark County Solid Waste and Environmental Outreach, we recruited some partners to help us with providing the business assistance piece. And Waste Connections does a lot with looking up service levels, garbage service and recycling levels, looking at materials to see what can be recycled and what can't, and provide that service information. And then we also partner with Clark Public Utilities, and they offer an energy on-site scoping report. So businesses will finish that meeting with a list of opportunities for them to look at energy efficiency or conservation measures. And they like that. And these are a few examples. Over 50 businesses have gone through the program so far. And these are just three that I picked out to kind of share with you some of the folks who I've worked with. Cadet Manufacturing and IMS are both in the port. And they've been kind of leading the way in their respective kind of products and services to be green through reducing waste and having good safety records, et cetera. And then Elkhart Plastics is up in Ridgefield, and I wanted to let you know about them because they approached me to find out more about the Green Business Program because they were starting in the basement, let's put it that way, you know, like just really not having a broad or in-depth understanding about environmental impacts, but really wanted to use our Green Business Program as a tool to get them dialed in as far as their recycling. So when we did a waste audit there, we found out that 72% of their disposed waste could actually have been in a simple mixed recycling program. So we got them hooked into that. And then on the peer-to-peer and the education component, we've had these events called Green Business Morning Blend that, and again, Alan has attended. This photo that you see here is from our last one, which was at Whole Foods. And I would encourage you all, if you have the opportunity to attend, I would love to see faces from SWAC engaging with some of the business community if it was something you were interested in. We've had a speaker, and we're hosted at a business that's gone through the Green Business Program, and they talk a little bit about what they're doing and what their challenges are and where they've been successful. The idea being, let's bring everybody together. We're Clark County Environmental Services, but these businesses really, they have the solutions to all of their different challenges. So really, truly, it's for business and also by business in some ways. And we've been having these every other month, and we're looking at moving to a monthly schedule to continue engaging. And they've been fairly popular and growing. The attendance has continued to grow on those.
How do you know about these? I mean, you say we are, you know, maybe attend. How do we know where they are and everything?
So I have an email newsletter list, and I send out a monthly newsletter, in addition, an invitation to those lists. And we've done news releases as well through the county. But if anyone is interested in getting on our monthly newsletter list, I'd love to be able to follow up with that. Or maybe we could start just putting them in the...
Actually, when you send out the notice of the meeting and what the agenda is going to be, you could might be able to just tag onto his email.
That's
less emails.
Mm-hmm. Less emails. Let's combine them. Sounds great. So our next one, just an informational for now, is on December 17th. Coming up, I guess that's a couple of Thursdays from now. We have them in the morning, 8 to 9 a.m., and this upcoming month will be hosted by the Heathman Lodge, and we'll be on their second floor mezzanine area. And it's their opportunity to talk about and discuss with the attendees some of their
what they're doing
projects. And it's a great time to shine as a business and kind of talk about that value-added green component. And then the big to-do for the program as far as recognition is our annual Green Business Showcase. We've had that for 4 years now, I think, usually in the spring. And we've kind of landed on March as the St. Patrick's Day Green Month and kind of going with that. And this involves networking opportunities. We've had the businesses set up booth displays to talk about their business product and service and their green efforts if they'd like to. And then we present an award to all of the businesses that have met the certification requirements in the previous year. And we don't have a location on this one yet, but we'll be looking forward to getting those details ironed out shortly. So thank you all again. And I'm open to questions. I just wanted to give you a quick overview.
Sarah? What's this I heard about Ohio?
Well, my carbon footprint is taking a little...
You're moving again?
No, I'm actually just going to Columbus for the weekend.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to lose you.
No,
after we kind of figured it out. At one time, there were several Sarahs running around.
Yeah.
Between you and the garbage company. And
all. Right. Okay. Now, as it turns out, green carries over into the teams I support sports-wise, so the Portland Timbers are playing in a finals there. So.
Yeah, good thing. Yeah, another thing, of course, you know I was involved in that count at the transfer station, and a very nice little booklet with my picture was in it, but it seems like things died there. Did we get publicity out to the papers and everything versus what we had found in the previous ones versus what we located in the last one? I don't recall seeing that. I know we published this nice little booklet, but did it ever get out to Joe in the field that they were doing better in their recycling bins than they had in June or whenever before? I don't remember seeing that.
I don't know if we put out a press release on that, but we can.
You know, why don't we think about that? Because, you know, people noted that we went through some of their recycle bins, and that's the last they heard of it. And I think you can make some money with that, you know, publicity-wise, because it is positive information, for sure.
Yes, and that's, I mean, with the green businesses, reaching out and raising awareness for what we're doing and getting support through the peer pressure of knowing who else in the county is participating in the program is important. And it's always a challenge for us to kind of get to that next best thing and make sure we're reaching people.
Well, I know at Legacy, we've got an emphasis on sustainability. And when you came and put your program with our sustainability program, see, we already had the light studies done, water studies and all of this, but she helped put this all together so that it flew right. And we'd like to thank you for that, too.
Well, and you were, Legacy Salmon Creek was in a unique position as far as businesses or in places where I've worked with, because all of the low-hanging fruit, so to speak, was already picked. I mean, we were really looking into details with you. So.
Well, and one of the things in the Green Business Program is that you pick out a goal and you try to reach it for the next year. And we were muddling around. We just couldn't get people with PhDs and medical doctors and nurses to figure out how to put tin cans in here and bottles in here and trash papers in there. And we were just having a fit. And she and Melissa came out from Waste Connections, looked everything over and said, "You guys are doing great." And I said, "But look at this. The Jefferson Middle School, they put everything, no problem. And we got all these educated people and they can't sort it out." She said, "Don't worry about it. It's just you guys are doing as good as you can do." But we didn't think so. So thank you. That's all.
That's it. Any other comments from SWAC or the audience? Meeting is adjourned.